Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We finished up our series a couple of weeks ago, and I want to deal with the subject of hope. The subject of hope. And we're going to be looking at various passages of Scripture, and I wanted to read the first five verses of Colossians chapter 1 as we take up this theme of the hope. Many times in the New Testament, we see this phrase, the hope, has the article in front of it. And the noun readily makes it understandable that it's talking about a special hope, something that is near and dear to the heart of Christ and also near and dear to the heart of His children. And that is that we have hope in Jesus Christ. I want us to look beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints. And then notice, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So many things that are related here. Faith, hope, and love are mentioned here. And the word hope is such an important word that we just can't move over it lightly. I want to just take a few moments to define it, and then I'm going to share with you a story that I came across several weeks ago that I copied and kept because it illustrates this truth of hope that many times in this world there's so little of, and yet in Christ Jesus we have the hope. And so let me just define the term. The Dictionary of Theological Terms defines hope as this. Hope is a biblical term referring to the expectation of the believer that God will fulfill promises made in the past. Biblical hope is more than a simple wish. It entails certainty based on God's demonstration of faithfulness to people in the history of salvation as recorded in the Scriptures and as experienced by believers. Ultimately, the Christian's future hope lies in the promise of Christ's return and the anticipation of bodily resurrection from the dead. The blessed hope, referred to in Titus 2 and verse 13, is the rapture of the church as the fulfillment of our longings to be with Christ physically in our new bodies. That's such an important word. It has so many different facets to it. It's like a diamond. So many different facets related to that. Kyle and Delitzsch in the Biblical Commentary describes hope as the eye of faith which looks forth clear and fixedly into the future. The eye of faith which looks forth clear and fixedly into the future. And then Charles Spurgeon often preached on the subject of hope. In many of his volumes of sermons, you'll find the word hope used greatly. And this is what he said regarding this particular term. He described hope as the anchor of the soul, providing stability and peace even in the midst of life's storms. And one of his well-known quotes was this: our hope in Christ for the future is the mainspring and the mainstay of our joy here below. It will animate our hearts to think often of heaven, for all that we can desire is promised there. To be with Christ in heaven. That's the glorious fulfillment of all of our salvation. To be in His presence in a glorified body like His glorified body, all on the basis of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we have that hope in our hearts now. You know, I've had many people over the years that have questioned, said, what do you think about cremating someone who passes away. Isn't that paganism? I say, well, it's no more pagan than filling a body full of chemicals like the Egyptians did to prepare their pharaohs for the afterlife. I said, it's just as pagan as that. And I had one person one time said, well, Jesus needs our bodies for the future. And I said, what was your body before your soul was put in it? It was dust. Did Jesus need your body for the future? He can recreate just like that. He doesn't need our body that's in the grave or whatever. Now, it's important for us to realize that our hope is not based upon us. Our hope is based upon Christ. Can I share with you a story here that I came across a few weeks ago, and it was a very moving story about a young couple in 2001. They'd been married for a few years, and they were attending a church. They were the Lightseys, that was their name, Gary and Rochelle. And they had a 4-year-old boy and a 16-month-year-old girl. And typical family, church-going family. And her mom called her and said, I want to keep the grandkids tonight. Is it all right if I can bring them over? So she said, sure. Took the kids over to the grandmother's house. The next morning at 7 a.m. in the morning, she got a call from her husband's mother and said, you need to get over to your mom's house. There's been a fire. When they arrived at the house, the ambulance and funeral home were there. 4 people had died, her 2 children, her mother, and her stepfather. They were gone. An electrical fire started and burned them all alive. And just a horrible, horrible thing. And they, of course, planned the 4 funerals, and Gary tried to go back to work 6 weeks after that, ended up quitting his job because he was just overwhelmed by that. A period of 5 years passed. He goes from job to job to job, not able to deal with the grief that he had. His wife was much better at that. Her faith in Christ was much stronger, and he had stopped going to church. He was blaming God for what had happened. And so the Lightseys heard about a weekend to remember at their old church that he had not been attending, and so they went back there. It was a Bible church. And they went back there, and there over 2 or 3 days, they were impacted by the Word of God. And he was convicted of his sin of not trusting God and blaming God, and the Lord transformed his heart. Within a few weeks after that, her sister and her husband were getting a divorce, and they said, can you keep our kids? The stress in our household is so great. Can you keep our kids? And so both of them said, yes, bring them over. And they were able to have those kids, nephews, two boys, in their home. And for the first time, Gary, in 5 years, was able to be a dad to those boys. He didn't want to have any more kids after losing the 2. But he said God began to deal in his heart. And he told his wife, he said, honey, it's time for us to build another family if it's God's will to do that. Jesus Christ has been working in my heart to some degree. And he told his wife, for the first time in 5 years, I know what it means to have the hope. I know what it means to have the hope. She broke down. She had been praying for him. She had come to grips with it long years before, that God had chosen to take their babies and that God would take care of them. And it was just the husband that was being held back because of his grief, his anger against God. And the Lord just changed him, transformed him, changed his thinking. They were able to have 2 more children. Those children now, the first child came in 2007. The second child came in 2009. And they are now in their teenage years. God sustained them. Gary, in the article that was written about their family, said this, "It took the funerals of four people to help me to come to the place and understand what the hope means." What the hope means. It means trusting everything to God and the fulfillment of His promises, no matter what may take place here on this earth. Whether it's loss of family, loss of a mate, things happen physically, whatever the case might be, the hope has meaning. The hope has meaning because Christ has meaning. There's a lot of folks that live in a very, I don't know, shallow way, and they don't realize and understand and know what Christ really means in day-to-day living. Paul here, as he wrote the church at Colossae, was lifted up with thanksgiving. What does he note about this church? He says, first of all, we give thanks, verse 3, unto God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Verse 4, since we what? Heard. Of what? Your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. The gospel, folks, transforms lives. It transforms thinking. It transforms every part of our being. He was thrilled to hear of their faith, of their love, and I think it's important to note, their grasp of the hope. They got a hold of it. They understood it. Colossae was not a church without problems. They were dealing with all kinds of things, false philosophies. He warns them about vain philosophy, things that were challenging some of the people that were in that particular church. But they had come to grips with faith in Jesus Christ, love for the brethren, and hope that was found in laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Verse 6, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth what? Fruit. It was bringing forth fruit in their lives. I want to leave you with a couple of thoughts here. And I want you to think with me for just a moment. The biblical hope, the hope that we read about in the Scriptures, differs from worldly hope. It is completely different from worldly hope. In its certainty, in Christ Jesus, there is certainty. In worldly hope, I hope this takes place. I hope this happens. I hope I get money back at tax time. I hope this, that, there's uncertainty there. You don't know. There's elements within worldly hope that says we just don't know. But in Christ Jesus, yea is what? Yea. All things in Christ are yea. That brings certainty to our lives. For Christians to live in uncertainty means to live against what the gospel has taught them. To live against what the gospel has communicated. Because the gospel communicates certainty. I know that the moment that I die, when Todd Brainerd dies, breathes his last, I'm going to be in the presence of Christ, not because of anything that I've done, but on the certainty of what Christ has done and the certainty of who Christ is. That brings stability. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Paul says to the Corinthian church that Jesus Christ has pulled the stinger out of death. that Jesus Christ has made our future certain. And we're going to live right. Now, by the way, on this side, when we die, our physical body remains behind. Our spirit and soul go to be with the Lord. But it's not complete, is it? It's not complete. The spirits and souls of those brothers and sisters that have gone on before us are spirits and souls there. But one day, they're going to have a body like unto His glorious. That is certain. Why is it certain? Because of the truth of the resurrection. The truth of the resurrection. Jesus Christ came forth from that tomb bodily. And He was able to do things with that body that nobody else could do with their body. He appeared in their midst. He was at the Sea of Galilee. He was down in Jerusalem. I mean, He was everywhere. He was not bound by the laws of this universe in His new body. No blood, flesh and bone, we're told. Now, this, folks, the truth of the resurrection impacts our hope. It helps us to understand more clearly why there is certainty in the Christian life. So I want us to think about that as we go forward in this series of messages. While worldly hope often involves uncertainty, biblical hope is a firm assurance and confident outcome, a sure thing based on God's unchanging nature and faithfulness. How many of you waking up in the last week in the middle of the night and heard a noise, or maybe you got up because you had to go to the restroom or something of that nature and just stopped to thank the Lord and realize and know that He's there? He doesn't sleep. That whole idea, we need sleep, He doesn't. There is a certainty that I can go to Him at any moment of the day and night and have a hearing in His presence, because heaven never shuts down. Heaven's never closed for repairs. We don't have to wonder and worry. We have a certainty, a hope, the hope. It appears so many times in the New Testament with the article, the hope. What does that mean, the hope? It is different from other hopes. We're going to bring out some of those factors as we study this particular passage. We're going to be looking at how hope is related to faith. Those two are closely intertwined together. We're going to look at passages related to that. But Hebrews 6:19, which hope is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Our Jesus is our hope, certain, after the order of Melchizedek. The king to whom Abraham offered sacrifices, who I believe is none other than Jesus Christ. He is after the order of Melchizedek. He has no beginning and no end, we're told. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. Father, I thank You so much for the testimony of Your Word. Lord, as we take up this theme, I pray that Your saints would be encouraged, that Your saints would not fear the unknown, that we would not fear death, that we would not fear the things that lie in our futures. Some of them may render us incapacitated. Some things may never come in our life. We may be raptured away. But Lord, we know that You are our Savior, You are our King, You are our Lord, and You are our Master. And we give You glory and praise for the certainty that You give us in the finished work of Jesus Christ, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.